Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
What happened to David in the cave? While he was there, God heard him and God responded. God gave him what he needed because God can give us what we need in the midst of the difficulty and the hardship. I can tell you from experience that through those times of difficulties, it feels like it's never going to end, like it's going to go on forever. But God will answer your prayer.
It is one of the reasons the Psalms are such a place of comfort when we feel desperate and heartbroken. Because David felt desperate and heartbroken and wrote so many Psalms that show us not only how to cry out to God in the midst of our darkness, they remind us that God is with us. He hears us and He answers our cries. With more from 1 Samuel 22, 1 through 5, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
When his brothers and the rest of the family heard that he was there, they joined him. His mom and his dad and his brothers and his family join him in the cave. Now, there's probably something very practical here. They probably realize that sooner or later the king is going to turn from killing David and trying to kill his family. And so they need a fortress to stay in as well. But also they're there. David had spoke of being in the cave alone. Well, God didn't leave him alone. His brothers, who were jealous of him when he fought the giant, remember Abinadab, his older brother? His father, who forgot about him, when Samuel said, I'm going to anoint one of your sons to be king, and he brought his seven sons out, and Samuel has to say, you have any others? And he goes, well, yeah, I do, but he's a youth and he's with the sheep. Well, go get him, Samuel says. We won't sit down until we bring him here before me. He'd been forgotten by his dad, made fun of by his brothers, but now they're there. One of the things that can happen in difficult times is isolation. It's easy to become bitter and upset and angry and isolate yourself. And that's why when people are going through this, we go to them. Or if you're in the midst of it, that you turn to family and friends, that you don't isolate yourself. There's no shame in difficulties. Everybody has them, everybody. There's no shame in it. Now, not only did his family join him, but notice this. People who were oppressed, in debt, and dissatisfied went to him, about 400 men in all, and he became their leader. Now let's talk about these 400 men. Later on, it's going to be mentioned as 600 men, so it's going to grow, but let's talk about them for a minute. People who were oppressed. These are people that are under someone else's thumb. These are people that have been taken advantage of, and they have fled being taken advantage of. They are under oppression by someone or in debt. They're in debt. They can't pay their debts. We could say they're the ones who made their debt and now they're running from their debt. Look, our circumstances sometimes happen to us and our circumstances sometimes are because of us. But it doesn't mean God's going to abandon you. God's not going to go, this is your fault, so I'm not going to respond. We do that to the homeless guy in the corner on the intersection. He's probably there because he did things to put himself there. Or he's got a mental issue. Or there's a brain injury. But is God going to abandon him because he did what he did to cause what he is doing? Should we? Does God abandon you when it's your fault? When it's the consequences that are going on now rather than just something that happened to you? These men show up, they're oppressed, they're in debt, and they're dissatisfied. This is the word mar, M-A-R, which we get Mara from. You guys may remember the water of Mara in the book of Exodus. As children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. Do you remember what it was? Bitterness. When you are mar means bitter, Mara, bitterness. So it was the water of bitterness, and they had to cleanse the water to make it able to drink. And so these men are bitter, and they are in debt, and they have been oppressed. I don't know if you're going to build an army that these are the guys that you choose. to go out and build an army by. Nevertheless, they are the ones who are there. And I want you to notice what David does. And he became their leader. David is a king. He will be when Saul dies. He's the king who will inherit it. And he begins to lead at this point. Another thing about this is 1 Chronicles tells us that these men become his mighty men. Now, I don't have time to do it tonight, but I would love to go and read through some of the things that his mighty men do. There's a list you can look it up. David's mighty men and their accomplishments. Just type that in. You're going to go to the scriptures that tell you the things that they did and how God used them in David's army and what God did. And these are the guys. It reminds me that the New Testament says that God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And that God calls people who are oppressed and in debt and distressed. Oftentimes, those things are happening when we know we need him. Rarely, it happened, certainly, but rarely is life humming along great and we suddenly go, I'm done living for myself and I'm ready to live for Jesus. It usually happens when we have bitterness, and debt, oppression. That's what these guys do. And David becomes the leader. Now, something begins to happen with David in the cave. There are two other psalms that David writes about in the cave. You remember the first one? He's distraught. He's alone. No one cares for him. He's called out to God, and God hasn't met him yet, but he still trusts him. Now we get another psalm written in the cave. And don't get confused that this one's Psalms 157 and the other one's one Psalm 42. It doesn't mean it happened before and after. Nobody's going in and putting them in the right order, okay? So listen to another psalm that he says from the cave. Again, it writes about David from the cave. Psalms 57, verse 7. My heart is satisfied. How did he go from the place of being in complete distress to having a satisfied heart? His brothers are there, his mother, his father, these men who he now leads, a motley crew as they are, but he leads them. My soul is satisfied. My heart is satisfied, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake my glory, awake. Lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the people. He just said he's going to sing loud in the morning. I'm going to wake people up. I'm going to awaken the dawn. They're going to hear me singing and praising. I will sing to you among the nations, for your mercy reaches unto heaven and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all of the earth. What a different heart. What happened to David in the cave? While he was there, God heard him and God responded. God gave him what he needed because God can give us what we need in the midst of the difficulty and the hardship. I can tell you from experience that through those times of difficulties, it feels like it's never going to end, like it's going to go on forever. But God will answer your prayer. God will respond. Now, there's one more psalm that David writes, and that's Psalms 34. It's one of my favorite psalms. And it says on the headline that it was written when he ran from Gath, from Laish, I think his name is, the king of Gath. But he finds himself in the cave. Listen to what he writes. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. They looked at him and were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. It is God that we look to. This poor man cried out. David had nothing when he crawled into that cave. This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. So God had delivered him. the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want for those who fear him. The young lion lacks and suffers hunger. Even the young lion, which are the king of the jungle, they lack and they suffer hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall lack no good thing. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whom is the man who desires life and loves days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. When you have things right between you and God, everybody sins, right? Bible says if anybody says they don't sin, they're a liar and the truth ain't in them. But you can make things right. Someone said, if we're forgiven of all of our sins when we come to Christ, then why do I have to repent and ask God to forgive me? Because you got to make your conscience, you got to make it right. Just because you sin and you're separated from God doesn't mean you're going to hell. But it does mean there's a separation between you and God that needs to be fixed. And if you confess your sins, he's faithful to forgive it. Verse 18, the Lord is near those who have a broken heart and such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Now that's so David's writing a psalm. So a psalm is a proverb and a psalm are artistic. And so there's some artistic aspects to them. There's a passage that says, bring a child up in the way of the Lord, and when they are old, they will not depart. Some scholars say that that's a promise. Bring your child up in the way of the Lord, and you got a sure thing. Others say, no, it's a proverb, and a proverb is wisdom. It means that if you live this way, then it's going to happen. And so it can't be taken 100% literal, but it's just kind of like the vast majority of the time, you bring up a child in the way of the Lord, and when they're old, they don't depart. Now, I don't know how you take that passage. I know how I take that passage. But even though there's some artistic aspect to it, there's always truth in it. You can't negate the truth that is here. And this passage, people try to negate. I'm going to read it again. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And there probably should have been somebody in here who said amen, by the way. Because you've gone through many afflictions. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. And you think, but I know people who aren't delivered. I know people who die from that disease. I know people whose marriage was completely destroyed. I know people who are distraught and haven't gotten back from being distraught. But it's not done yet. The Lord will deliver us all. Jesus put it this way. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. But even if he does die, he will live. See, it's not done yet. We will one day be in his presence. And no matter what you're going through now, no matter what you're facing, listen to me and listen to the way I'm saying this. No matter what you're going through now, no matter what you're facing, no matter what your struggle is, it's going to be okay. And I can say that knowing it, because one day you will stand in the presence of the Lord Almighty and it will be okay. Even if you die, you will live, and the Lord delivers you out of that. My late wife, as she got closer to going to be with Christ, she became more concerned about her family and friends. And she focused more and more upon Christ and was delivered. Not the way I wanted, not the way she always wanted it, but she went into the presence of the Lord and became excited about it. 2 weeks before she passed away, Skip Heitzig was here teaching for me while I was just dealing with my wife. And Lisa said to me, can you have Skip come by and visit me? She's at what used to be the university hospital, but now I think it's Banner. And And I said, yeah, I can have Skip come by. Why? She says, I have some questions for him. And I thought, I'm a pastor. You can ask me these questions. When Skip shows up, she says to him, I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord soon. What is it going to be like? And so we talked about what is called the intermediate state. What is it like when you die and you enter into the presence of the Lord? To be absent from this body is to be present with God. What is that like? And we had some great conversations about what that would be like, that she looked forward to going and being with the Lord. There became that time, and God delivered her out of them all. God will do the same for us. He goes on to say, he guards all of his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the souls of his servants, and none of those who trust in him will be condemned. None of us will be condemned. We've been saved. That's what being saved is all about, right? We've been saved. Hallelujah. We've been saved. We are not condemned, no matter what. Now, I don't know whether you're dwelling in a cave now or not. I don't know if you're in the midst of the struggle or you've found the deliverance that God can bring. But I want to give you a couple of things and encouragement here at the end. Number one, in the midst of the cave, David cried out to God. He cried out before he felt better and after he was comforted. Cry out to God now. Have enough faith to believe that God is going to reach out and touch your kids that need that help, that it feels beyond you. It feels like you can do nothing. You can do everything. God will answer. I believe that. You call out for them. Cry out to God. Let it be fervent. Let it come from a fervent heart. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. Pour out your complaint to God. Tell him about your trouble and the struggles for your family and your friends and yourself. Don't let it go by that you don't call out to him. I've been hopeless in my crying out to God, and God had answered my prayers. That's a testimony that I have. And I can tell you now, as I cry out to God, that I have that in my past. If God could do it then why won't God do it now? If God can touch and deliver, he's ready to, but have you cried out to him? The Bible says we don't have because we don't ask. Have you asked? In the midst of the cave, for you cave dwellers, God used him, right? He became the leader of these 400 men in the midst of the cave. And finally, David was humble enough to learn from God. One thing that you find in all three of those Psalms is humility. David knew you had to humble yourself before God, and that even though something unthinkable had happened, he could not go. I was married. I was a commander in the army. My life was set. I was ready to be king. He could not be arrogant before God. He had to humble himself before him and trust in the Lord. Let me read to you the next three verses. We'll probably cover these some next week. It says, David went out from there to Mizpah in Moab and said to the king of Moab, please let my father and mother come and stay with you until I have found what God is going to do for me. David is humble, but he still believes God's going to do something for him. He takes his mom and dad to Moab to keep them away from the king. And he says, until I can see what God's going to do with me. That's the attitude you have when you're in the cave. What are you going to do with me? I got to see what you're going to do. Verse 4, so David left his parents with the king of Moab, and they stayed there as long as David was in the cave. Then the prophet Gad came to David and said, don't stay here. Go at once to the land of Judah. Now David's from Judah. Judah is the tribe of Judah, and Jerusalem is in Judah, not yet Jerusalem. It still belongs to the Jebusites, but David will take it. Seems like he wants to go and have him be king, or at least into the land of Judah. So David left and went to the forest of Hereth. So in the midst of it all, David knew God was still at work and God would do it for him. Whatever you're going through, can I just encourage you that God's there with you? What did Jesus say? And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Stand with me and let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the time that we're able to spend here today. We thank you for what you're doing in each of our lives and in each of our hearts. Lord, we pray for the difficulties and hardships and stress that we are facing and going through. We ask you to help us, help our children, help our parents, help our friends. God, do a work. We pray. Meet us here and deliver us, deliver them. And we thank you that we have this example. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. But I want to give you an opportunity, if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, to give your life to him. It's time for you to start receiving the forgiveness that God has for you, to live that life that God has planned for you, that God wants you to walk in. The Bible says, as many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God. You can become God's child. Everyone isn't God's child. You can be adopted into his family, a co-heir together with Christ, if you call out upon his name today and say, Lord, I want you in my life. You have to be born again. You become a Christian by inviting him in and beginning to live for him. And if you're ready to do that now, I want to give you that opportunity by just raising your hand. Lift your hand up now. You're saying, I want Christ in my life. God bless you, ma'am. That's awesome. Just raise your hand. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Don't let this time pass. Don't let it go by. Don't let another day go by that you don't know Christ. Maybe you made a commitment in the past, but you didn't follow through and you know you need to. Maybe you think you're okay because you're in church. I don't need to be born again. I'm in church. Going to church doesn't save you. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. You have to invite him in. You have to receive him. If you're online, you can pray this prayer with us as well. I would like everyone, including the one who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin separates me from you. But I also understand that I can be forgiven. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio, or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.